Good morning, everyone. My name is Craig Newell. I'm one of the pastors at this church. We're introducing ourselves because many of you might be new among us. I want to say to you, if you are new among us, we extend to you a very, very warm welcome. It's wonderful to have you with us as we rejoice in Jesus Christ this morning. I want to also say to the children that as I talk now, I'm looking, as we go along, for four names. So children, four names that Jesus has. And I will ask you in a little while what those names are. Four names. Well, dear friends, I want to open up for you a little bit about this passage that's just been read to us. There are many reasons why I am convinced that the Bible is a book that should not be ignored. There is huge reason, as you page through the scriptures, there is huge reason to believe that it is a document from heaven. One of the things that convinces me that the Bible is a supernatural document is the many prophecies inside the Bible that have come true. I just don't know how else one can explain how detailed events that are listed there, written up hundreds of years before, then actually happened. How else do you explain that if it's not a supernatural book? Did you know, for instance, that Isaiah, whose prophecy we are looking at this morning, did you know that he wrote about a man named Cyrus who would be the one to order the rebuilding of Jerusalem and its temple? You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28. The thing is, when Isaiah wrote that piece of information, the temple was still standing. And so was Jerusalem. But along the way, down the line in history, the Babylonians came and they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. And then, further down the line, the Persians took over from the Babylonians. And then, 160 years after Isaiah wrote this prophecy about Cyrus coming, this Persian leader arises. And what's his name? His name is Cyrus. He comes on the scene. He orders the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. That's just one example of a prophecy that ends up fulfilled. Did you know that the birth of Jesus was predicted to take place in Bethlehem? And so if you were to turn to another prophet in the Bible, whose name is Micah, and it's become quite a popular name these days among children. I've got two little Micahs in my family, cousins of my children. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." So there's this prophecy that's been running through the Bible about this coming ruler. It's an ancient prophecy. It's one from of old. And it's saying now in Micah that this one is coming from Bethlehem. Insignificant little Bethlehem would be the place from where the forever king would come. Do you know that this prophecy was written 700 years before Jesus came? Before he was born. And I could go on and on giving you example after example. And as the examples stack up, the question needs to be asked, how could detailed information be known hundreds of years before they happened? Well, this is what convinces me, one of many things, that convinces me that the Bible is a heavenly word to us. Now, the astonishing thing is that many everyday people will go through their lives not even giving the Bible a read, not even giving it a look, not even weighing up its claims. But what if it is all true? What if it is about how you can have eternal life in a new world that is coming? How can it possibly be sensible to come to the end of your life only to find out that you have missed out? Because you just didn't bother to even have a look. Or because you have some preconceived notion that what's in this Bible is really just the stuff of myth and legend. A man I know very well has parents and siblings who don't believe the Bible. He grew up in that environment, but he came to the point where he believed. And his family, his parents and siblings, have dismissed the Bible without any investigation. They've simply just put it aside. Sometimes when he goes to visit and spend time with them, there are some family discussions, but they're not really interested. Around the time that Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, came out, and maybe many of you saw the movie, around the time that it was popular and the movie was out, a documentary was broadcast on the book. Now, if you haven't read Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, let me tell you what it's essentially about. It's essentially debunking what the Bible says about Jesus. Dan Brown shows Jesus not to be a divine figure. He's not God come to be with us in the flesh. So this man's family recorded the documentary and gave him a disc and said to him, "You need to watch this." And so, because he's concerned about his family's eternal future, and because he wants opportunities to talk with them, he set about watching it. To his amazement, the documentary debunked Dan Brown and debunked the Da Vinci Code. And so, when he saw his parents again, he asked them whether they had actually watched the doco. And they admitted they hadn't. They had just assumed it was pro-Dan Brown. Well, their son replied saying, "You need to watch this." But you know what? They refused. It just isn't reasonable, is it? You see, they're not really interested in discovering the truth. And it's not sensible. Because if what's in the Bible is all true, and they refuse to join with the King who is coming to bring about a glorious new world, they will miss out, and they will just miss out because of the foolishness of a hard heart. Dear friends, at Christmas time, we rejoice and celebrate the birth of the King who is coming to rule a restored world forever, a recreated new world. He was born 2,000 years ago. He proved his divine power by rising from the dead. And he has set a time when he is going to come back and rule the entire world, assert that rule on this world. In the meantime, he is calling people from all nations and all tribes to join his family. And as I say over and over again, that's one of the things that I love about this church, because it's a reflection of different nations gathered together that have heard his call and they've come. And they are trusting in him and looking forward to that new world. The remaining prophecies, many that are in the Bible yet to be fulfilled, talk of this glorious new world ruled by a leader who will never die. Who is he? What is he like? What is it that true believers are looking forward to as they rejoice in and celebrate this Jesus? Well, there are four names that he has in this passage. Names that picture for us what life will be like under this King's government. And I would like us to take a look at that. But I want to ask if any of the children have found those four names. Any children, have you found what the four names of Jesus are? Joel, I saw your hand go up first. Do you want to shout out what you've got? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so in this passage, and you can see it in verse number 6 at the end, four names for Jesus. We live in a culture, well certainly mine, Western culture, where you just get given a name because it sounds nice. I'm Craig because my mother has Scottish ancestry. She loves all things Scottish. And so I'm Craig. She even insisted that all her children's middle names be her maiden name, which is MacLeod. So the Scottish thing is there. But what does Craig mean? I've told you before. Where's Alan? Alan? Do you remember what it means? You used to call me Rocky because it means a rock or a mountain crag. But my mother didn't give me the name for that reason. She just likes it because it's Scottish. But in the culture that Jesus came from, names meant things. And so here we learn what he's like from all these names. The first one, Wonderful Counselor. What is so special about this name? Well, when you crack it open, it's an awesome name. You see, a counselor is someone who is wise. There are some people out there who we find to be remarkably wise. And they would be the first people we would go to with our problems. We would want advice from them. I don't know about you, but I'm sure most of us these days long for leaders in the world that can fix the mess that the world is in. Leaders of great wisdom. Leaders who would be great counselors. Who has the wisdom to end racial violence? I think of America. Another person shot in St. Louis on Tuesday. And the violence and the racial turmoil. Who has the wisdom to fix these things? Who has the wisdom to fix terrorism and broken families and corruption in business and in government and exploitation that we see of people across the world? Who has the wisdom? There never has been a human leader who can really, really get it right. The world needs someone with great wisdom. We need a counselor of greatness. And Jesus is called here, long before his actual birth, he's called Wonderful Counselor. Now that word does not mean that he's a great counselor in the sense of he's a nice counselor. He does a good job. It means much more than that. It means that he is a supernatural counselor. It means a counselor whose work of wisdom is a work of wonder from a supernatural level. That is the one who will fully rule in the new world. And so today, Christmas, we celebrate and we rejoice in the birth of our King. Because we look forward to that day when he will fully assert his rule as a wonderful counselor, a supernatural counselor. Oh, how our world needs wisdom. The second name that Joel called out. Any other children? What was that second name? Jess? Mighty God. Mighty God. You see, it's all very well having a leader who has great wisdom. There are many wise people in our world who don't have strength to then put their wisdom into play. A leader of great wisdom might arise in a country only to be overwhelmed by the military might or the sheer brute strength of other players on the scene. But Jesus is called Mighty God. And when you unpack what that word means in the original language, and then you find its use across the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, you find it means a strong man. It is used, for instance, in Psalm 24, verse 8, of the Lord himself, and calls him Lord mighty in battle. The point being is that Jesus has the power to destroy all those who stand against him. He is able to clear the way so that he can rule with wisdom, with this wonderful supernatural wisdom. Right at the end of the Bible, in a book called Revelation, when God reveals and exposes what's going to happen at the end, it describes Jesus in battle with his enemies, that last battle. And how does Jesus win at the end? Well, fire just falls and consumes all those who are against him. Jesus is mighty God. He is incredibly powerful. How secure we feel when we know that our King is that strong. And so we rejoice this morning in our powerful King. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's Mighty God. And then, who else, children, what was the third name that Joel shouted out? What's the third name that Jesus has got? I'm looking for another child. Yes, right at the back there. Lizzie, is it? No? Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Thank you. I need to get a new pair of glasses. Everlasting Father. Everlasting. He is not going to go away. How sad we were as a family when my dear grandfather died, which is now some years ago. But I remember the day like it was yesterday. He was a man who had great love for his family and was deeply respected by the broader family. He was a man who had remarkable wisdom. How sad when all that was lost. How sad I feel when I consider my own parents' mortality. I don't know what kind of parents you've had or have. Some people have had parents that have done a terrible job. I've been blessed with wonderful parents. My parents truly are wonderful. They truly love me. But they are not everlasting. We don't always have the deep love of special people with us because it comes to an end. In the Bible, God is described as Father to show His deep care and His deep love for His people. When you look at the passages that talk about Him described as Father, it is passages that show how He is for us. He is our home. He is our refuge. And here we are told that Jesus is like that. He is a ruler who truly rules for our sake. He rules out of love. He's not a tyrant. He is so unlike the rulers of today who are in it for themselves. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the status. They're in it for the power. And they exploit their people. We have one who is called Everlasting Father. Father in all the good sense of the word. And so we rejoice at Christmas that our King is thoroughly committed to us forever. That love will never go away. And the fourth name? The fourth name? Any other child got that for me who hasn't had their hand up yet? Well, the fourth name is Prince of Peace. The last name we are given here is that he is Prince of Peace. Now, the word for peace in the original Hebrew language is the word shalom. You heard that word before? Shalom. It is a beautiful word. It means so much more than just no war. It means a state of being where everything is whole, where everything is good, where everything is at rest in your life and in your world because there's nothing to worry about. Just last night, there was some interaction between me and my family. They're all over the world. I have a sister who lives in Israel. She went there nearly 20 years ago, married a secular Israeli. They are now a believing family. They're Christians. And there was some teasing going on about my sister doing a crazy thing, and so I sent a message across saying to her that she needed to be put in a padded cell with a jacket on with the buttons going down the back. And she came back and put a whole lot of Hebrew. She wrote a whole lot of Hebrew, which in my Hebrew is not the strongest at all. In fact, it's very poor. But with a bit of help from technology, I worked out what it said. And in it she said, I hope that you will come and visit me in my padded cell and say shalom. You know what she means? She means that in this supposed state of not being well, that you'd come and wish me well at the deepest level, that I don't need to be disturbed and in a padded cell. Shalom is a beautiful word. Imagine being able to walk the streets and not worry about having enough to live on. Imagine never having to worry about being diagnosed by your doctor with a terminal disease. Imagine never having to worry about losing a loved one because life goes on, there's no death. Imagine never having to worry about being attacked by terrorists. Imagine having no worries ever. That is shalom. And Jesus is the one who is Lord of it, of shalom. Shalom is His. He is the Prince of it. And He brings it to us who are His people who believe. The names of Jesus, these wonderful names, dear friends, cause believers to celebrate and rejoice. And that is why Christmas is a time where we are bursting with joy, because we have a glorious future. Sadly, many in Australia today will celebrate something more of a flatter Christmas. It'll be a time with family, and that's a good thing. It's wonderful to be with family. But in itself, it's still filled with brokenness, because the day will come when those dear family won't be there anymore. It just all comes to an end. Fellow Australians will go through Christmas having no certainty of being included in Jesus' coming kingdom. Oh, how we long as a church, how we long for everyone to be part of it, this coming kingdom with this great King. And it's out of love that we call on those who are not sure where they stand, who might say, I'm not a believer. It's out of love that we call on them to think these things through. We don't want anybody to miss out. You only have one life. Only one, and it goes so quickly. And then all eternity will follow. And in this world, when that eternity comes, you're either going to be with Jesus, benefiting from all these wonderful things that are packed into His four names, or you're not going to be with Him. And that would be a great tragedy. And so as we close now, I want to invite you, if you want to talk more about these things, they really matter so much. Right at the back, as you go out the door, there's a little table, and on that table, there is a card, and it says, Welcome Visitors. It's a card that looks like this. On the back of it, you can fill in your details. If you want to talk about these things, or if you want to talk about anything to do with Jesus, you might be a believer and you just want to understand with more depth, or if you're interested in knowing more about what we do here at Bull Creek, please fill it in and pop it into the little box that's at the back. We would rejoice more and more Christmas time as more and more come into the kingdom of God and benefit from this great King that Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your dear Son Jesus. Thank you that in Him is a glorious future. And so we can burst with joy and sing these carols with massive smiles on our faces. Thank you for all that Jesus means. And we pray that those who believe will be further encouraged by what we've just heard from the Scriptures. And we also pray that those who are not sure, perhaps they don't believe, or they're not sure where they stand, would come forward and talk about these things some more. Fill in the card and talk about these things some more. Father, we pray that everyone here this morning would be blessed today and have a wonderful time with whatever it is that they're going to be doing. We commend each and every individual to you in Jesus' name. Amen.